Hello and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. This is Javier.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are so glad to be back with you. This is just a couple of days after Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to women everywhere, especially, of course, Danielle, who is sitting across from me. But we celebrate women. We celebrate your contributions, everything that you do every single day, because we know that you have a big job and most of the time it's not recognized. So at the very least on Mother's Day, we can say happy Mother's
Day. In this house, it's recognized, so that's great.
And we can say we care about you and we are truly, genuinely grateful. Today, we wanted to talk a little bit about hope. We wanted to share our hope that we have, of course, but we also recognize the fact that in this current season, I think for many of us, there's a sense of hopelessness. There's unfortunately a lot of tragic events. There's a lot of things that go on seemingly day to day. If you have a news app or a specific channel of news or way in which you get your news, you're probably kind of nodding your head right now because you see or you read or you've heard that there are several different things going on, whether it's, ongoing wars in other nations, whether it's sort of an economic downturn, whether it's housing market where you are. Maybe you're having trouble finding a home or finding the right home or getting it for the right price. I know that there are many markets that are, just having a heck of a time right now. So we hear that, we see that. A lot of people right now also just with families. There's a lot of things going on with families right now. I opened my email inbox this morning checking through things. And some of the list emails and church emails and podcast emails that I'm subscribed to, almost every other headline is dealing with hopelessness, dealing with anxiety. The word burnout comes up almost like, I think I had 5 emails just today from different sources talking about how to combat burnout, how to recognize it, how to see it. And these are both from Christian and what would be considered non-Christian business leadership type podcast things. And so we kind of thought maybe we should address that too with our, this platform and this audio format, because I think it's something people are thinking about. I hear the words anxiety, mental health, depression, not to go too far off into all the different things, but I think we just need hope. We need some people to stand up, recognize that those things are real, because I think partially our society sometimes wants to maybe quickly write off the impact of tragic events or the impact of our work and the demands that we, even if we put them on ourselves, I think we need to kind of recognize that and recognize the fact that we live in a demanding, time-consuming, ever-changing world. And we need to kind of be able to see how that affects us, see how that then affects those around us, because we can't stress enough that our emotions, whether dealt or undealt with, certainly lay the groundwork for other people around us. I'm not saying that we cause things to for other people to happen or that we're, I'm not trying to make excuses, but we certainly can take responsibility and understand that when we have emotions, when we have stressors, when we have things that we're dealing with, if not dealt with correctly, I think can definitely have a negative effect on those around us. But when worked through, when we kind of talk through and give ourselves some time and space to explore what's going on, that's probably one of the most healthy things that we can do for those around us. So it's not just a selfish sort of thing to kind of create a place for yourself, but really it does kind of have impact on people around us.
Yeah, I think that, just to touch on that, talking through hopelessness and fear and anxiety and depression and those things, I think that each of us have all experienced difficult things in our lives and things that have been unfair, things that were unexpected, things that, we would hope would have been different or just would have passed us completely and not been something that we would have to walk through. So I think on a personal level, everyone can relate to one of those feelings at times of fear, stress, anxiety, maybe some depression. But then even at a more global scale, like you were talking about, things that are just impacting people as a whole.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to not actually feel the weight of that.
Right.
And so when there's mass shootings, when, you know, like you said, there's war, when people's financial abilities and resources are limited, all of those things, I think that burden can get really heavy.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it before, but Brené Brown talks about how having empathy, like you really don't run out of empathy. It is like a renewable source, but that sometimes we think that if we are too empathetic, that we're gonna run out. And so sometimes we get really, like we let our hearts get really hard. And we just think, I can't care for that situation. I can't care for that person. I can't care for this, circumstance that either this person finds themselves in or we as a, you know,
society
like find culture, ourselves yeah. in. But that actually it's that empathy that actually breeds more of it.
Yeah.
And so you don't lose the ability to be empathetic with the more that you give away.
Yeah.
It's actually a renewable source. But I do think that it's dangerous for us to choose that path. And I know at times I've felt that way of like, I just can't give any more empathy to anyone else at this point, because what else can I do? What else do I have to give? And it can feel hopeless. But I do think that being more empathetic towards what other people are going through actually helps us to be more empathetic towards ourselves. When we're able to acknowledge the struggle or the pain that someone else is walking in, it also then gives us freedom to acknowledge that in our own life if that comes at a different time.
Yeah.
And so I think that can be very healing, because otherwise, if we're not able to do that for ourselves, it's going to be impossible, really, ultimately, to do that for other people.
Yeah.
And then that's where you do end up with a whole world walking around just looking out for themselves.
Yeah.
And that gets dangerous. And I think that in some capacity is why we see so much violence and these things that are just happening at a record rate is... People sometimes have this mentality of it's all about me, or I just have to self-preserve, and so it's I.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with that practice, we end up getting a situation like this that we're in, where there's a lot of chaos in the world.
Right. And how, like, so let's hang out there for a minute, because you said something about practicing empathy or spending it on others and kind of meeting people where they're at. But what does that mean? Like, what are maybe some examples, or what are some of the ways in which we can actually do that? Because I think that's getting at the crux of the situation, is that we need to be there for one another. I think, you know, bearing one another's burdens, their troubles, you know, just sitting with someone through something sometimes is enough. But what are some of the ideas or things that you know of, or that you know really make a difference when you're talking about trying to empathize with people?
I mean, I think it's as simple, like in my life, it's been as simple as, instead of just seeing someone in pain or seeing someone, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain, spiritual pain, instead of just seeing it and moving on, it's asking them, are you okay?
Yeah.
Or sometimes just acknowledging, I can see you're not okay.
Yeah.
And how can I help you? How can I be of a support to you? I think that goes a long way.
Yeah.
Letting people know that you actually care. You know, that's looked like all kinds of things in our life.
Yeah.
But I think that's it's unusual. It's not as common these days to really sit with someone in their pain and in their struggle. And it's not that we think we have all the answers. We know we don't.
No.
But I don't think that people are always looking for all the answers.
Right.
As much as they're looking for someone to actually see them and to actually care.
Exactly.
And so I think that acknowledging that and being there, being present for someone in the way that they need you to be present is one of the biggest ways that you can do that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, we talk a lot about being available.
Yeah.
I think one of the first times I heard that articulated very specifically like that is through the book, one of the books by Bob Goff. And, you know, there's he describes and explains and lives out, I would say, what we would what many people would say is kind of a radical availability.
Yeah.
I think his best-selling books, at the back of it, has very specific contact information. Like, he gives stories where his personal phone number is placed in the back of the book, and he'll answer. And he'll answer
some,
you know. And so to me, I'm like, okay, that's a radical form of being available.
And he's a pretty well-known author.
Yeah, because you're talking about somebody who's selling millions of books.
Right.
So the potential for people knowing that they can just get a hold of him, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So the idea of availability and being there for people and showing up and being present, I think, is a fantastic attribute. I think it's an amazing skill.
Yeah.
Because I also think that it doesn't necessarily come easy.
Yeah.
And so I think it's something that takes practice. But something another author, Simon Sinek, says is that he has made it known within his tight circle.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of going granular and much more kind of bringing it in. But with his circle, with people that he knows, and some of these people are also other famous artists or authors or people that are in that space. But at any rate, it's people that he walks among and walks with. And he says something to the effect of, they know that they don't have to cry alone. And so that's something where he says, you know, that puts the responsibility a little bit back on others, but it still says, I'm available.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to answer your email. I'm going to respond to your text. But that also encourages people around him to not deal with things by themselves.
Right.
Because I think that's what happens too, is that we get anxious. We get, you know, trauma happens, bad things happen, things that we would wish on no one. And yet we try and internalize it. We try and deal with it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We try and isolate. We become silos. And I think that's also, like you're saying, that can be very dangerous on the person that's dealing with things. But I think it's just as dangerous to cut people off or limit the exposure or say, well, I'm sorry, I can't deal with that right now because I'm dealing with something else.
Yeah.
And I think that's just talking about community. I think it's talking about our hope is spread best in community. Our hope as a banner, or just as, oh yeah, I've got hope, and so this is my hope, and you can find your own hope. But when we're sharing together, when we're dealing with things together, we're raising our children together, we're you know, helping each other with our the issues that we deal with on a daily basis, I think that's when hope is transferred the quickest.
Yeah.
Because, like you said a minute ago, I've been through things that other people haven't been through. They've been through things that I haven't yet been through, or maybe, you know, can avoid if using that as wisdom and using that as sort of a way to balance my life out, their experiences. And so to me, I think that's the cool thing, is that empathy, availability, presence, being able to sometimes just sit, you know, just sit and hear people, or sit and ask questions, or sit and try and find out, you know, because I think that's the thing too, is that not everyone's looking for you to solve their problems.
Right.
But I think probably most everyone wouldn't mind having someone walk through their issues or their problems or a circumstance with them. Even if it's just to be in, you know, quiet availability and quiet, you know, presence, just to so that someone knows that you're there. And so I think that's a pretty cool thing. I know that there's a few scriptures that we had kind of compiled for this. One of them reminds me of Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, guides me along the right paths. You know, and it goes on there a few verses, but the idea of just God's presence, just Him being, you know, in this picture we're seeing it as a shepherd. So you see as, you know, as protector, you see it as guide, you see that word as, you know, someone who walks along and is in charge of or in care of, you know, whoever or whatever that shepherd is shepherding. And I think that's the thing. I think.
How you like to say accountable for.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, like, you've pointed this out to me before and we've talked about it, but I think you're the first person I've ever heard say, you know, within the church, there's a lot of talk oftentimes about being accountable to someone.
Yeah.
But how you've described it is also the vast importance of being accountable for people. And so the idea of what you're saying, being a shepherd, a good shepherd, they're accountable for those sheep.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because in that same picture, in that same, you know, analogy or metaphor, you know, if a sheep gets separated and gets into danger or goes down by the creek or goes down to an area in which it's susceptible to dangers, we can blame the sheep and we can say, okay, the sheep is gone off or it didn't stay with the group or whatever. So there's some ownership there, certainly. But I think as a shepherd, as someone walking with someone, as someone mentoring, if we can use that word and sub that in, but someone who's kind of being accountable for that group or for that person would look ahead and maybe see dangers, see things that that person may not see, see things that, you know, from a perspective that may be clouded by their judgment, may be clouded by certain other circumstances. And so if we're accountable for people and accountable, you know, for a few, you know, because we can't do that for everyone, but if there's people that we can do that for, I think that we can actually curtail some of those dangers. We can help keep them from those pitfalls. And I think that's the idea, because as a steward, as a shepherd, as a steward, it's just like you said, it's like I'm now responsible. I'm accountable for what I've been given. And that doesn't just mean resources or just my family. It means people that, you know, have crossed into my path. People that have, you know, it's the story of the Good Samaritan not crossing the street, but going and actually helping the person that was in need. And I think that's the idea, that our presence, our availability, our empathy is not a finite resource. It can't, you know, yes, our time is finite in the scheme of things, but as we use it and as we purposefully use it, I think we can feel as though we're making greater impact, which then that's a good trade-off, I think, for our time. And so, you know, yes, that time may be spent and never recoverable, but the impact or the purpose or the life change or the, you know, the growth that can continue on, that can, you know, that can be, that can change someone's life, and that can change the legacy of their, how they live their life, and that can change generational things, you know. So that's the idea, is that if we use our time and spend our time wisely, and especially in pursuit of caring for others, sharing our hope, making sure that they know that they are, you know, both seen, heard, cared for, I think that is a worthy pursuit. That's a worthy, worthwhile way to use our time. Because I think people need it.
Absolutely. I know that we have had people like that in our lives who have been that for us. Actually, Bonnie Ruth, one of our really dear friends, she has been just a champion of that. Like, in our life, she has been, her and her husband Jason both have been people that just let, like, fully embrace who you are as a person and who don't make you feel like you have to filter who you are, but that you can truly be who you are around them. And then above and beyond that, when they know that you're going through things, they're so intentional to check in and to see how you are. And there's been times where they've done very tangible things for us.
Yeah.
that, you know, it's like they've done a lot of things for us emotionally and spiritually, and they've just been amazing friends. But they have also blessed us, you know, in tangible ways. I remember when we were living in Honduras the second time, and we were having the power outages constantly, and, you know, the power's going out for 8 and 10 hours at a time.
Yeah, sure.
And we're sweating, and it's miserably hot, and you just feel like you're in an oven cooking.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's after work hours, and there's nothing you can do to cool down, and, you know, one of their text messages, "Hey guys, what are you up to today? How's it going?"
Yeah.
"Well, right now we're miserably hot. You know, we can't catch a break as far as the temperature goes. The power's out, this and that." And next thing we know, they're sending two fans that are battery operated, so that when the power goes out, we at least have some fans in the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, just things like that.
And we used them.
Oh yeah,
we used those things up.
We kept those things charged anytime the power was on for just the next day that it goes out,
yeah,
for hours and hours. And that's, you know, it sounds funny, but it's like, it's huge. Someone cared enough, they asked, and then,
yeah,
they were like, "We can take care of this. Like,
right,
let's get this family some fans."
Mm-hmm.
I remember another time, you know, Sage, for the last 12 years, has been intimately involved with all of the mission work and the things that God has called our family to.
100%.
And she has seen some really difficult things. She has worked very hard. She has poured and mixed concrete. She has served in hospitals.
Yep.
She has built aquaponic systems. She has served at the maternity home. She's given away her favorite stuffed animals to other little babies.
Yep.
Who she's met over in Honduras and different things. She's just been an amazing example to us of generosity. But I remember one time that Jason and Bonnie Ruth said, "Hey, we know she does all these things, but we want to do something for her." And they blessed her with some resources to go and pick out some shoes she,
yep,
had been wanting and different things. And that just, I mean, it totally made her summer.
Yeah.
But it also was so impactful to us because we've just tried to pour into Sage and teach her,
yeah,
about generosity and all those things. And she's, like I said, has been intimately involved with that for 12 years.
Yeah.
13 now. And then for someone to just recognize that and say, "Well, I want to do something that gives back to her, that blesses her."
Yeah.
That was so cool. And I remember when we told Sage about that, like, "Hey, they're gonna send money so you can go pick out whatever you,
yeah,
want," she said, I've been thinking something like this,
yeah,
is gonna happen.
Yeah.
And that, I think we broke down in tears because we,
yeah,
just thought, well, that's so cool that the way her mind works is something good's gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But those are tangible things,
yeah,
you know, but that's because of someone being intentional in relationships, someone,
yeah,
checking in on us emotionally and spiritually. And then, you know,
yeah,
also then
there was tangible
things at times. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool because to me, that's what always reminds me whenever I start getting worked up or start figuring out, like, okay, there's definitely stress coming or there's things that, you know, bring anxiety, is I try and remember God's promises because,
yeah,
we've had things like that happen,
yeah,
both big and small. And we however you want to define big and small, to me that was a huge thing.
Right.
But I mean, you know, whether it's,
yeah,
financially, monetarily,
yeah, they would say it's small,
emotionally,
we would say it's big.
Yeah, so,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So there's different perspectives,
yeah,
on that, but,
yeah,
the idea is that God's promises hold true, that He's always going to be with us, that there's always something that we can lean on, that we can rely on.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:6-7 says like this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So to me, that's, you know, it's feels like sometimes God answers our prayers even when they're not audible.
Oh, yeah.
Even when we haven't spoken it out, when we know,
yeah,
you know, maybe it feels selfish to pray this prayer or to,
mm-hmm,
say this thing, or, you know, in moments like that, I'm reminded that He's always listening.
Yeah.
And that He hears our heart no matter how quiet our prayers are or how silent they may seem. God answers our prayers.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember that in this scripture it says to go to Him in prayer in thanksgiving,
right,
with a heart of thanksgiving, with gratitude,
right,
with gratefulness. Because I think that's the same thing. I think,
yeah,
it's, you know, just as if, you know, one of our, you know, any of our kids, any of our children, any of the people listening, you know that when your child comes and asks you for something,
yeah,
when they've done, you know, great things and they've, you know, expressed their gratitude, they feel joyful, they're, you know, it's super easy. Like, great,
yeah,
no problem, give those things.
Yeah.
If you have older children or you've raised your children, you may or may not have known that sometimes kids can feel or seem or project,
yeah,
you know, ungratefulness or selfishness, or, you know, we all have a tendency,
yeah,
you know, towards that. And that's when it's hard to give.
That's,
yeah, when it's hard to truly feel like, okay, I want to be generous in that moment. But if you push through that and you actually show off the characteristics of who our God is,
right,
you will be generous. You'll continue to give. You'll continue to give even if it's not feeling like it's being received in the right spirit or the right way.
Yeah.
And that then will change that heart, or it will change that response, or, you know, because I've seen that too, where generosity and you know, serving and giving sometimes softens the hardest of hearts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've had that over the years where people have given us, you know, it's almost like, hey, we don't, you know, we don't care about this. We don't want to see this. We don't want to, you know, have,
yeah,
nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we're not wanting anything from you. We just want to give to you, or we want to serve you. We want to, you know, whether that's in the U.S., whether it's been in other countries. When we're giving, when we're serving and,
yeah,
not expecting anything in return, that has the power to change hearts. It has the power to actually soften,
mm-hmm,
even, like I said, the hardest of people, because they've always been in an economy where if I give you something, you owe me. If you've given me something, now I owe you.
Mm-hmm.
And in God's economy, it's really not like that. It's just, thank you for what you've given me, what you've,
right,
done for me, and the decision that I've made to follow and to serve and to faithfully have, you know, my expression of belief in Him.
Mm-hmm.
But short of that, you know, what we believe and what we've taught is that Jesus paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing else owed. There's,
right,
no, you know, especially for,
right,
our salvation.
Yeah, we're not working.
We're not
for
working towards
salvation.
Yeah.
Or,
so what we're,
yeah,
working towards is harmony, peace,
yeah,
freedom from anxiety, freedom,
yeah,
from depression, freedom from, you know, the terrible things that happen in this world. And that doesn't always mean that we are completely free from it.
Right.
We can still experience trauma and tragedies and events like that. But the peace that He gives us, it,
right,
says, transcends,
right,
our own understanding. So sometimes we don't even understand it. We see it all the time. We see testimonies or stories of people who've had very tragic things happen to,
yeah,
them. And they're going in and saying, oh, but I forgave the person that did this to me.
Yeah.
Or I do, you know. Or they're writing a book, or they're doing a,
yeah,
a TED talk,
yeah,
and they're like, I experienced this horrific trauma,
yeah,
and yet here I am able to share my hope still with you.
Right.
When I hear those stories, I just break down, because I'm like, my problems aren't that big anymore.
Yeah.
My problem, you know, and I'm not just saying we need to compare, but I'm saying,
yeah,
it does put things into perspective. It's like,
yeah,
okay, I can deal with the things I'm dealing with with a joyful heart, with a grateful heart, and because of that,
yeah,
I think peace comes.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's the cool thing that I get reminded of when we hear stories about our own adventures, the things that we've done, the missions that we've done, the sacrifices that we've had, but also when people share those with us, when people,
yeah,
share, hey, I lived this life from, you know, age 0 to 15 and tragic things happen and, you know, parents weren't, you know, weren't the right thing and they didn't,
yeah,
do the right thing and, but yet they still have hope. They can,
yeah,
stand here in front of us and tell us their story and say, but I've grown past this, or I've gone to this, or I've gotten to this point. And sometimes it's still, grief is cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a straight line. It doesn't mean that you're over things completely, but you can walk through them. You,
yeah,
can have strength in them. You can continue to find peace even when there should be more turmoil.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's probably the greatest gift out of that scripture, is the fact of what you're talking about the peace transcending all understanding. And it says it will guard your hearts and your minds in,
yes,
Christ Jesus. For anybody that knows, anyone that's ever experienced things like like gripping fear and anxiety and depression and things like that, having a peace that guards your heart and your mind is
priceless. No way.
Yeah, there's nothing that's going to compare to that.
No.
You could have everything in the world or you can have nothing.
Exactly.
But if you don't have peace and if your heart's not guarded and your mind is not safe and guarded, then you know, having everything is the equivalent of having nothing.
Yes.
And so I think that that to me is very comforting, of knowing like that peace is for us, and that we can access it, and that we can trust that God is good, and that He is our Heavenly Father, and that He is for us. And I know that it's hard to believe that all the time, you know, especially with all the things that you see going on in the world, but we do believe that. And I think that the peace that comes with that is immeasurable.
Yes, yeah, and I think it's one of those things that we have to and are compelled to, once we've reached, you know, not that we've just reached a goal or gotten to a position and now we don't have grief or anxiety anymore, but when you have this realization, when you understand that there is peace that you can have, then it's also our duty and our responsibility to give it away, to share that hope, to share why we have hope, what has given us hope. Because I think sometimes people just read things or they see things and they think, well, I can't really believe in that. It's not for me. It's, you know, kind of, you know, or I've had bad experiences with that, with church or with Bible, you know, with scriptures. But for us, we can tell our testimonies. We can say, yeah, we've had traumas, we've had tragic things, we've had people misrepresent who Jesus is many, many times.
Yeah.
And yet we can still have our faith and we can share our faith and share our hope, because there's been real things in our life that have happened.
Yeah.
Real anxieties, real panic attacks, real depression, real, you know, hurts that we've gotten through and that we're continuing to get through, that we always continue to get through and we continue to move forward with. And I think that's our hope and our prayer for you. If you're listening to this podcast and you've gotten to this point, I want you to know that we're praying for you. We're praying for you this week to be free from anxiety, to be free from depression, to be free from fear. Because I know that those are all real things that our friends and people and, you know, even if you just stumbled across this podcast, if you're dealing with that, I'm praying for you this week. And I want you to know that you don't have to do it alone. You know, you know, there are resources, there are places in which you can find prayer, you can find counseling, you can find free resources, things that will help you get through this. But most of all, you can find people who actually care, who actually will take the time to be present, to be available, to spend their time in prayer and even just hearing, you know, your plight, hearing your story, hearing what you're going through. So I want you to know that we're praying for you this week. I encourage you to share this podcast with someone. You know, that again, like I said, we're all about community. We're all about doing life together, working through things together. And sometimes all it is just a small touch point of, hey, listen, I listened to this. What are your thoughts? What do you, you know, think about this? And with that, I'd also like to encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can email us. We'll put some links in the show notes. But we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your thoughts, hear your prayers, hear your you know, just the things that you think. Maybe there's been a way in which you've found peace in something tragic, and we'd love to hear about that. But we definitely encourage you. There's a section on our website as well where you can submit anonymously prayers. You can text a phone number, and we'll pray with you. You can also just submit a form online, and it'll email us, and our team will be praying for you. Because we shouldn't do this life alone. We have reason to hope. And we hope that you find a reason to hope and to again, be free from fear and hopelessness, and that you can find a way in which to restore anything that was taken. So we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your time. We'll be back here again next Tuesday. But we are grateful for you. We're understanding of, you know, where you might be, and we can probably know more about it than you may think, but we appreciate you listening and being here with us. And if you need any of those resources that I mentioned, you can just check the show notes on whatever platform you're listening on right now. So we appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again next Tuesday.
Bye.